Hello and welcome to the Much More Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you be more, to be able to reach your fullest potential, and then to be able to give more in terms of that potential. I am your host, Mark Miller, and I'm excited to bring you this one. Let's get into it. I'm so excited about this podcast. You have no idea. I'm really pumped to be here with Mr. Ken Jocelyn. He is the CEO of Growth Stack Drive. Was a professional realtor since 2015, podcast host. He's a Grant Cardone certified coach. He really has this passion and the ability to help leaders build clarity, build confidence, and really create community around them. He was a lead pastor at Life Church. He is now working on the Create Conference that is coming up very shortly. It has speakers like Anthony Trax, Jesse Itzler, Nicole Arbour, Craig Siegel, and John Maxwell, just to name a few, and of course yourself. So like really excited about that. Let alone of all his great achievements, all the things that he's done throughout his life and just the different ministries and things he's been involved in. He really just has a heart to help people just be more. Welcome to the Much More Podcast, Ken. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, my friend. I literally, you know, me being from the States, I could sit here and listen to your accent, just listen to you talk all day long.
I've actually heard people say that to me. Yeah, thank you. It's quite difficult to place, right, my accent, if you don't know where I'm from. So yeah, just as those who listen to my podcast know, I'm from South Africa.
I have a mixture between Detroit, Michigan, where I grew up, and Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. So I'm not sure if it's a northern accent or a country accent. Yeah. Probably more country because I spent about the last 30 some odd years in the South in Atlanta. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. So you picked up that accent, but it's a cool accent to listen to too, man. It's, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about what you got going on, what you got cooking in the pot, and then we'll get into some of the questions.
So I've spent the last 25 years, half of that 25 years in full-time vocational ministry, pastoring churches, planting churches, being around some really cool people. On the ministry side and the faith-based side, speaking to some unbelievable audiences from small to large. Now, the last 6 years, or the other half of that 25 in real estate, I've done about $275 to $300 million in real estate transactions as a top-producing mortgage broker in Georgia for about 8 years. And now on the real estate side, I've got teams in Birmingham, Alabama through eXp and the Atlanta, Georgia area. So we help families. We serve families, buy and sell residential commercial real estate, which is fun. Really, my joy on the real estate side is to be able to take agents who have never made six figures in a year, wow, and teach them how to crack six figures, teach them how to make money in a way that they've never been able to generate revenue before. And really then even help them behind the why. What's the purpose behind my profit? What does that look like? So doing that and GSD, we launched it about a year and a half ago. Growth Stack Drive is a coaching and consulting firm that I started where we help business professionals and business leaders build confidence. Number one, it's the most important thing we need. Confidence is currency. We spend it every single day in every decision we make and every relationship that we build. The second thing we do is help them gain clarity. It's hard to move in a direction every day if we don't have clarity on where we're going. And that's a vision component, a core value component, all the things that help give us clarity. And then the last thing is building community. The community aspect is huge. You mentioned our Create Conference we're doing in Atlanta at the end of January with John Maxwell and Jesse Itzler and Nicole Arbour, just phenomenal entrepreneurs. I mean, I've got entrepreneurs from across really this hemisphere coming in that are some of the most amazing entrepreneurs. We're doing it in the round. So we're doing 35 to 40 tables of tents with 350 to 400 people here because in the whole theme of the weekend is this. We believe that businesses are built through relationships and relationships are built in circles, not rows. So we're doing it in the round. And I've said this over and over. You're going to hear some amazing communicators at our conference, but the magic is what happens in the room at those tables and you building relationships with other individuals. So those are the things we do, man. And I'm having a blast doing it.
Man, I love that. Just listening to you and just hearing your passion and your journey. I want to ask you, where does that come from? Because everybody's got this internal drive that I've noticed, right? We all have something that is put on our hearts. I refer to it as a calling in some ways. You've moved between being a pastor, working in real estate, and then doing coaching. How did you navigate that? Where does that drive come from? Just tell me a little bit more about that story, moving from point to point.
So I've got four daughters, 25, 22, 18, and 13. I just had breakfast with my 22-year-old just a minute ago. She's phenomenal. My 25-year-old, celebrate her first year anniversary. She got married last year. Phenomenal, phenomenal husband, great guy. He needs to be a great guy because my 25-year-old is my mini-me. So she has my personality, my drive, my passion, the whole nine yards. And poor old Jason is just super chill. But I mentioned that to take you back about 22 to 23 years from the time I was just started getting involved in full-time vocational ministry, then as a youth pastor, my 25-year-old, when I started taking her to kindergarten, went to a private school, private Christian school when she was younger. Every day, for every one of my kids, when I would take them to school and drop them off, I'd ask them a question. What do servant leaders do? And there's three things servant leaders do, and this is what I taught them. Number one, servant leaders put other people's needs before their own. And I would say, hey, baby, what do servant leaders do? And they would say, daddy, servant leaders put other people's needs before their own. They do things right the first time, and they do things without being asked. And those are the three things that I taught my girls. And when I picked them up in the afternoon, I would ask them, and they knew, how were you a servant leader today? Give me an example. Dad, I let so-and-so go in front of me in the water line after we got off the playground today. Daddy, I took the trash out from it. They would give me an example of what a servant leader was that day. You ask me where that comes from. It really comes from that core belief for me as a Christ follower and a man of faith. It comes from really God's put us here to serve other people, even in leadership roles, serve people at a high level to where they look and they're attracted to. Why is this guy serving me? One of the things I say a lot is be the type of person that wants something for people, not from people. When you want something for people and there's not an ulterior motive. I heard Gary Vee say this on a thing on his Instagram yesterday. He said, kindness is a word that's going around right now. But if you're kind to somebody in order to get something from them, he goes, it's really not kindness. It's a form of manipulation. Yeah. So I think the servant leadership aspect is really why and how I've made the transition from being in full-time ministry, full-time mortgage broker, to back into full-time vocational ministry, planting a church and pastoring for 5 or 6 years, back into full-time doing real estate, and now coaching and consulting. It's the same thing. It's having an attitude and a temperament of how can I be a servant leader today and how can I serve the families and the businesses and the individuals that I help.
Man, that's awesome. And one thing that I take encouragement there is that you are following a core principle of yours to be a servant leadership. And out of that stemmed all the things that you're doing. We wear many hats and we have many masks and we wear many faces, right? But it all comes down from a certain pinpoint. Kind of reminds me of myself being a Christian is I always use this adage of everybody asking me, what should I do? What's the one thing that I should do? And like, there's multiple. In the Garden of Eden, God said, choose from any tree that you like, but just not this one. And that is to fall away from my word, to fall away from my instruction, to fall away from me. It's just so powerful that you also coming from this point of, I want to be a servant leadership because Christ is within me. This is within my heart. This is what he tells me to do. And then I'm going to go out and do that. And I just find so much encouragement in that.
The really cool thing about it is when you really have a heart of servant leadership, and some of my favorite guys that I listen to as far as leadership, two of my favorite authors are Pat Lencioni, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Ideal Team Player, The Advantage. Pat's a believer as well. And then Simon Sinek. I don't know where Simon, falls on as far as it goes, as faith goes. But they're really two guys who really trumpet the message that resonates with me, which is as a leader, even in my book I published a couple months ago, As the Leader Grows, that book was birthed out of a conversation with a mentor. The day after I spoke on the largest stage that I had ever been on in front of about 8,800 to 9,000 people, right after John Maxwell and right before Jeannie, one of my mentors, and she sat me down the next day. She invited me to lunch because I want to go take you to lunch the next day. I was 31 years old, and in my profession and in what I was doing in ministry at the time, I was at the top of my game. Like, I thought I had everything figured out. I thought I knew what I was doing. And Jeannie sat me down that next day at lunch, and she's, Ken, I want to ask you a question. She said, do you want to be significant or do you want to be successful? Because they're two vastly different things. And one of the common threads in my book that I talk about in As the Leader Grows is significant leaders understand that their role is to help the team and others around them become the best version of themselves so they can win at levels they've never won at before. Where people who chase success use people around them so that they can be lifted up themselves as individuals. If you start out in business, if you start out in ministry, if you start out in life, if you start out in any endeavor today, today's Tuesday, if I start out on Tuesday today to be significant in other people's lives, I'm always going to be successful. But if I start out to be successful, I may or may not find significance, and I'm probably going to leave a trail of damage behind me
Yeah.
Because people become the source of me being able to be successful versus my role and desire to be significant in people's lives.
Just speaking on that, right? We all have this desire to almost be hedonistic, to seek our pleasure first, and to really just notice that change of being successful and significant. The successful side to me is more the hedonistic side. Let's see what I can get out of what I can do. But actually, the people who are most successful have brought people with them. As you know, John Maxwell, that's what he says. Leaders take other people with them. It's not necessarily just like, yeah, let me see where I can go. And a lot of people, unfortunately, start off at that point and just coming out of, I don't know if it's a space of greed and or what it is, but it's just, I think that's something that I need to just apply to myself as well, because I'm very much at the infantile stages of starting out what I'm doing, right? I'm 30 years old now. And I also ask myself, do I want to be successful? And I think in some way, I just realized like, I don't really want to be successful in the sense that I'm going to do it for me. I just want to be able to take people with me. I want the person that I'm interacting with, the person that I see in front of me, be successful. I mean, I've just met you. Just because of the things you're saying, I'm like, I want you to get to the next level. You're already where I aspire to be one day. At the same sense, I'm, well, you're here already, but I know you can be 10, 20 steps ahead. And I want that for you. Yeah, I spoke to a guy yesterday who is a client, and I said to him, look, if it's not me, I can help you find another coach. I'm not necessarily worried about it being me, but I do believe that is something that can help. That shift for me has completely just changed the way that I do business, the way that I interact with people, because really it's not about me.
Anytime we get to a place where we can remove ourselves from the equation, where it's how can I best serve you? How can I best help you win? How can I help you become the best version of yourself? What can I do? What role can I play? Who can I connect you with? What value can I add to you? Understanding my favorite quote from Zig Ziglar, if I help enough people get what they want, eventually I'm going to get what I want. And it is, if there's a Jesus model, it is, I'm going to literally lay my life down to help other people, knowing that not only material, financial, business growth, all of those things, it literally comes with it. But the reality of it is it's going to give me one thing that I can't buy, and that's fulfillment. When I lay my head down on the pillow at the end of the night, and I know, man, God, I've lived today the way you desire for me to live. I've made an impact in people's lives. I've helped add value to people. I've helped my team, whether it be on my real estate team, whether it be on my GSD team, I've helped these guys and these women become a better version of themselves today. So when I close my eyes after I get through with my prayers, before I turn my music on, I know and you sense that feeling of fulfillment. And that's not something you can purchase. It's only something that you can experience when you've lived a life the way that God has designed us and really desires us to be able to live.
That fulfillment. Man, that's tough to reach. I don't think many people actually really feel fulfilled in what they're doing. They rather go for things that they feel would make them feel fulfilled. And often that becomes tangible stuff. It just becomes things and they add things, right? For instance, that's why we have the purchasing problems that people have is I want to acquire stuff. And that makes me feel fulfilled because it's that instant gratification. And fulfillment is more of a prolonged process.
Fulfillment isn't a one-time experience. It's not a thing to where when I go buy a new car or I'm looking at a new car now. It's not like when I go buy something in 6 months or a year, I'm going to go, dude, I feel just the same about that car as the day I bought it, because you don't. Right. Fulfillment. You said it is a prolonged process. I've got a young man that was in my youth ministry back in late 1990s, early 2000s. And for years he ran a faith-based 12-month long-term rehab program in Atlanta. It's one of the top ones in the nation. Now he's traveling with his family around the United States in an RV, and he's helping the same type of faith-based places grow. And I mean, he took them from, you know, $1 million to $1.5 million a year to, I think, even in like the high eight-figure range. Wow. In what their budget was every year.
Awesome.
And every time I see Edward post a video yesterday on LinkedIn, I saw his video yesterday. You know what? The level of fulfillment that I get knowing that I had the opportunity, God gave me the opportunity to be able to make a difference in his life and mentor him for a long period of his life. That fulfillment, it's not a one-time thing. Like when we purchase something and we feel good, whether it be a watch, whether it be a car, whether it be clothes, whatever it is, Like those things, when I put my Breitling on every day, I don't go, oh man, that's a fan. It doesn't feel the same as it did the first day I bought it. Yeah. When I see that video yesterday, when I saw that video yesterday on Instagram from Edward, dude, the level of fulfillment that rose up in my spirit and in my heart, you cannot put a price tag on that. And you cannot purchase things like that.
That's awesome. That is one of the biggest blessings, or one of the biggest things that we're also called to in so many ways, is to sow seeds into people. Because you know that God calls us to be good stewards with our talents, right? And that does not just mean the money that we have. It means, are you a good steward with the time? Are you a good steward with your relationships? There, what you're really pointing out is that you've sown seeds into people. You've really helped people level themselves up. And I just want to ask you now, I know what you're sowing seeds into in terms of your profession and your career, but outside of that, like, what is it that you sow seeds into? But in what aspects do you sow seeds into?
Here's how I would answer that question. How do I sow seeds? What do I do with my life? There's a term that we use that one of my pastor friends uses, and we use it kind of in around the Church of the Highlands kind of network. And that is the word life-giving. I try to be life-giving in every interaction that I have. There are two types of people. There are thermostats and there are thermometers. So when you walk into a crowded room, or you walk into a room, I walked into my F45 gym this morning at 6 a.m. I got there about 6:05. I walk in a room, a crowded gym, two types of people. Number one, there are thermometers. They just gauge the temperature of the room. Mm-hmm. And then there are the people that I call thermostats. And those are the life-giving people. That any room they walk into, they have the ability to change the temperature and the climate of that room just with their presence. Because they understand how to add value to people. They understand how to care for and serve and love people. And when you walk into a room like that, you're a thermostat, you have the ability to be able to take that temperature of that room to another level. And when people finish that encounter with you, no matter how brief it is, when they walk away from a conversation, from a phone call, from a text message, from a Zoom interview on a podcast, when they walk away from that interaction with you, do they feel like, man, I feel better about who I am and about what's going on in my life because of the interaction I had with that individual? If you do that, you're what I call a thermostat. You're what I call life-giving.
So you're sowing into them, right? You're helping build.
It's a constant thing. It's not something you stop doing. It literally is as you breathe. I don't think about breathing. I don't think about adding value to people. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for so long. It's just who I am. Yeah. And when we move into that role, as we talked about earlier, we move into that role of servant leadership. What happens is we start to naturally be life-giving everywhere we go. And then when you do things like that, people are like, wow, man, you get off the call. And I'm like, dude, Mark Miller, dude, the dude stepped away from a career. He stepped away from a job. He's passionate about mental health. He's doing a podcast. He's doing things that most people sit and dream about. Like, dude, every time I see you on Instagram now, I'm going to be like, that's my guy.
Thanks, man.
It's going to make me feel better. Yeah. So here's a question I ask people all the time. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us, when our phone rings, like I've got my phone right here. When my phone rings, every single one of us, when my phone rings and I see a number pop up on my phone, every single one of us, when that number pops up, we have one or two responses when we see who it is. We're like, don't want to talk to them. Click, yeah. Hit the side button. You put your phone face down on the table. And then there are the people that call you that you go, dude, you're excited about answering the phone call because every time you talk to them, they add value to you in your life. Every time they call, you get off of that call. My good friend, Dave Meltzer, I say this all the time. Dave is the one of the very few people that when you walk into a crowded room, Dave makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. Every conversation you have with Dave, when you walk out of that conversation, you feel like you can conquer the world. Like you literally feel like there's no dream that I have that's too big. There's no goal. There's no passion. There's no desire that I have that is too large. I literally, all of these goals that I write down every day from my real estate team to GSD, to my personal goals, every one of these things is possible. Be that type of person.
That's awesome.
How do I do that? A couple ways. Yeah. Number one, be intentional in adding value. Always add value. It's so simple. This morning I got on, I'm capped on Facebook. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. So I have 20 to 30 people every day who have birthdays. I have a keyboard shortcut in my phone. I constantly go through happy birthday, copy, paste, copy. Everybody, I do it all the time. 3 to 5 times a week, I get a DM back. Hey, Ken, I know you're super busy. It meant a lot for me for you to say happy birthday. Handwritten thank you cards, right? A few handwritten thank you cards out every day and go, hey, I just want to let you know the difference that you made in my life. Shoot a text message. I saw a friend of mine today on the way to the gym this morning. Her father passed away. I sent her a text message. Hey, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm praying for you. She literally just texted me 45 seconds ago and said, thank you. Like, add value to people. Be someone that when you interact with people, you're adding value. Second thing you can do is be interested before you're interesting.
Yeah.
Don't go in talking about what you do. Or I've got, and it's hard sometimes when you've got big vision and you're doing really cool things, you want to tell everybody about it. But be interested before you're interesting. Like, ask them, how are they doing? What's Mark, what's going on, man? How can I help you on the podcast? How can I help you? What can I do to add value to you in your life? And when you do those things, dude, it will change and shift if you're not already there to where when you pick up the phone and you call somebody, they can't wait to answer your phone call because they know when they're done with that call, no matter how brief, they're going to feel better about themselves and about what they're doing and about their life.
I think in many ways, the way that you're describing is how I would almost see the early church, just their principles that they had. They were just there for each other. They built it up. If someone didn't need, they would be there for those in need. And ultimately, you're just going back to that and you're saying that. And to be a thermostat and to change it up is to go and show care, is to go and show that love, is to be like, I am here with you now and I'm present with you. Hey, so I'm going to jump into the middle of this podcast just to tell a little bit more about what's going on. If you like what my guest, Mr. Ken Jocelyn, has been saying, you can find out more about what he's doing and what he's got going on in the description of this podcast below. So wherever you're reading it on, you'll be able to click on the links and find out a little bit more of what he's doing. And he has an amazing conference coming up, which we've already spoken about in this podcast called the Create Conference. It's going to have amazing guests. Check it out if you want to get in on that. It's got a range of prices. I'm sure you'll find one that suits you. We are now trying to create our New Year's resolutions. And often what I find is that we're not really keeping up to them. And maybe you're finding that yourself as well. I have now created a resource that is totally free for you to use. That is a goal-setting resource. It'll help you make your goals more achievable, more tangible, and work with your psychology. So if you want to find out more about that resource, also check it out in the link of the descriptions below. And that's not all. If you do take up the resource, you get a free coaching session with me. I would love to chat with you there. Take it up, take up the resource, and have a free coaching session as well. So let's get back into the show.
Yes. One of the things that I struggled with, because I'm so locked in and I'm so focused, when I pastored, I had to learn to walk slowly through the room. Because on a Sunday morning, I'm the senior pastor. I'm locked in. I know I've got to speak two times. My worship pastor, where are we at here? I'm looking, making sure the experience is great for people. And I had people that were like, man, Pastor Ken, I said, hey, and you just walked right by me. And I'm like, ooh. I knew that I'm like, okay, I have to learn to walk slowly through the room. I have to learn to focus on, to make eye contact with people, because I didn't do this well. This is something that I learned how to do and I had to grow and mature in. Okay, I've got to learn to walk slowly through the room. Yeah. My first staff member I hired at the church I planted back in 2009, my first staff member, Patience, she was just like me. I mean, dude, 100 miles an hour, high, going. And I had to have the same conversation with him. Hey, Patience, you've got to learn to walk slowly through the crowd. Jesus was a master at walking slowly through the crowd, making sure everybody he came in contact with felt like they were the only person on the planet when he was having a conversation with him.
I think that's something that I need to definitely take on, is because in the space that I'm in, right, I feel like I just need to get going and I just need to throw myself at these things. But actually, I need to just take a step back and just go slowly through the room as a new analogy and just reach out to people. I think especially in this season, right? And in many ways, there's a lot of rhetoric going around that I've seen. And I think it's just because of the circles that I'm in. The algorithm feeds me a lot of like coaching things and motivational stuff. Yeah. People are like, hey, you need to smash and get into your 2022. And in some ways, that's not wrong. Mm-hmm. But you also need to judge and be aware of where you are right now. the last 2 years have not easy, right? And I'm just like, well, we need to acknowledge that. And we need to be like, people, be okay with where you are. Get around the right people. And that's what I love, that you want to build community. You've touched on that. It's something that I want to touch on as well, is because I know how important community can be. But get around the right people that can help you. Find somebody that is your thermostat, because it's for different people. You're going to get along with different people, and reach out to them. And this season, just be aware of those around you. We have living in a very weird time. A lot of people's lives have been affected. A lot of people have been sick where they didn't need to be sick. There have been people who have passed away. You and I were just talking about it earlier, and just the rate of suicides has increased.
How can you add value now? The suicide rates around the world between, this was when I was pastoring 6 or 7 years ago. It's worse now than it was then because of lockdown and COVID and all that nonsense. The suicide rate between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that 30-day period, is the same as all the other 11 months combined. Because it's a very lonely time, and we don't see that as a lonely time. Same as all the other 11 months combined, because the holidays are very lonely. So what can you do? Can you take 5 minutes, a piece of your day? Another thing we talk about too, is we do gratitude and affirmations every single day. Those are my four affirmations and my gratitude. Gratitude's great to have a gratitude journal, but if your gratitude never gets further than your pen and your paper, it's not, that gratitude's not having the impact that it can have. Pick the phone up. And I tell people this all the time. Find three people every single day that you can text and go, hey, I'm grateful for you. Hey, thank you for being in my life. You've made a difference in this way. Let people know. Pick the phone up. Make a phone call. Send a handwritten thank you card. Let people know that you're grateful for them. Because not only does it make you as a human being feel fulfilled and better, it adds fuel. It's wind in people's sails. And especially right now, what can I do to have an infectious personality, where people are like, dude, I just want to be around thermostats. I want to be around life-giving people.
Yeah, man, that's so powerful. And I spoke about this very briefly in my previous podcast. I actually spoke about gratitude, but also spoke about another G word that I don't hear getting thrown around too much, and that's generosity. And part and parcel, I think they go actually very well hand in hand, right? If you are grateful for something, you want to enact out on that. And you need to start being generous with your time. Where a lot of people fall in the generosity is they always feel like they have to just give away for the sake of giving away, out of like a place of guilt. But it's not that. There's so many different ways in which we can be generous. And one of the ways is that we can be generous with our time. We can be generous with what we give people. The world has become so fast paced. And more parts of the world than others, but come so fast paced, and people have become a lot more self-centered. And there is a point where we're going to have to be like, yeah, let's be generous to people right now.
You're talking about being generous. Generosity is infectious. I remember a story. I'd say a story one time. Well, I was still pastoring a few years ago. I went through the Chick-fil-A. You know, I'm right outside of Atlanta, so there's a Chick-fil-A every 100 yards. You can throw a rock and hit a Chick-fil-A around Atlanta. They're everywhere. So I go through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And I hand one of our series cards. Well, I think it was like right before Easter. I hand one of our Easter invite cards to the young teenage guy in the drive-thru window and said, hey, I want to buy the car behind me. How much is it? You know, $10, $9, whatever it was. So I pay for my breakfast. I pay for their breakfast. Well, a couple of days later, I go back into the Chick-fil-A and I walk inside. The manager comes to me and goes, Ken, you're never going to believe what happened when you were here the other day when you bought that car behind you breakfast. 17 cars in a row bought breakfast for the car behind them. He goes, dude, it started a buzz in our restaurant that lasted all day long. All we did was talk about that. One random act of kindness sparked. It was infectious. And I said, well, how did it stop? He goes, well, the 17th car said, hey, I'm going to buy. Because they're like, your car number 15, your car number 16, your car number 17. The car number 17, the order behind them was for a whole office. And it was like $88. And it just stopped the whole, it just stopped the whole chain. But the whole point in that is it's infectious. When you're generous, dude, it is infectious. When people get around that, they want more of that. Because again, the level of fulfillment, because fulfillment isn't something you can purchase. I can't call my guy at the car dealership and go, hey, I'd like to buy some fulfillment today. I can't go on Amazon and search for fulfillment and order me some Amazon to get shipped Prime and have it here by tomorrow at 2 p.m. It just doesn't work that way. Fulfillment is only something that comes when we make an impact and a difference in somebody else's life.
And I think that's a magical point to just raise, is that fulfillment comes when we make impact, when we create impact and just allow others to grow. I couldn't agree with you more. But one thing that resonated there with your story was, like you were saying, the one order was for whole office, and it just stopped that element of generosity. But again, we can't really measure where it went from there, right? It could have been shown generosity in another way. But what I take from that is that person had to give within their means as well. There's sometimes limitations to the amount that we can give, and we've got to be smart about that. And we've got to be discerning in all things. Sometimes you might feel a tug at your heartstrings to give where it actually feels like, oh, wow, this weight is, it's like there's a weight in my giving, and that's okay. There sometimes should be a bit of a weight in your in giving because of what you get out of that. Yeah. And like the way that it just helps combat depression, just your serotonin and dopamine levels rise through giving. And when it feels a bit heavy, it actually goes, it spikes up a bit more.
When you struggle with depression, and what happens is we focus so hard on our problems that they begin to get bigger.
Oh yeah.
When you take your eyes off of your issue and you go over here and you serve somebody else and you see what they're going through,
yes,
and you get involved in really helping them, all of the psychological things that you said take place, all of the different chemicals in our brain, it causes a shift in our brain, which then causes a shift in our mindset. And we're over here helping them solve their problems. And as we help them solve their problems, when we go back and we look back at our problems, our problems go from here, they shrink to here. And we go, hey, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. That's the magic behind how God has designed and wired us when we serve other people, especially when we're struggling with issues in our life.
That goes down to what I want to talk about, is building that community, gaining that confidence and getting the clarity. It's something that you very much want to push within everybody that you meet, right? And I think in so many ways, confidence and the way that I've experienced it, because I haven't been the most confident person. I used to hate speaking in front of people, like even doing these podcasts, like every time I meet with somebody new, there's always a part of me that's like, what are they going to think? You know, like those thoughts play in my head. But what I've realized is that's just my ego getting in the way of things, irrational fears. But I'm like, let me be there for that person. Again, I asked a very similar question that what you ask is like, how can I serve Ken? And I really wanted my platform, as the size that it is quite small still, but to be a voice for you, right? Like, I'm like, you are doing some really great things. I wanted to be a voice. I want people in South Africa, and predominantly where my list has come from is now South Africa and Asia. I want them to learn a bit more about you and what it is you're doing, because we're living in this global community now and we have the ability to do that. The confidence for me is that I'm doing it for you. And that's how I gain confidence. It's taking that perspective, which is what you were saying, and like, as well as part of generosity is giving out to somebody. It takes the focus off you and puts it on something else. And that rewires your brain. Our brains is such a term as neuroplasticity. And the way that our neurons can reconnect because of community, it's phenomenal. Research is now going into that space, and what's coming out of it is really, really interesting stuff. So from your perspective, is that how you would say that you can build better confidence and by giving back to community?
Most definitely. Yeah. Obviously, the serving part is huge. Mm. There are three spheres of relationships, or three types of relationships, that everyone needs. Community is number one. That's that large group that you do life with. For us, it's my GSD community. Seth Godin wrote a book about it called Tribes. Like, it's the people that have the same DNA. Grant Cardone, 10X community. It's the same DNA. It's the same vision. It's the same like-mindedness. You're moving and you're going in the same direction. So you've got to have that large community that you're a part of. Like, you can identify yourself with this community.
Yeah.
Because there are several positive things that come out of community. One is accountability. And inside of healthy community, or a healthy community, accountability should always feel like encouragement. Like, when you get held accountable inside of a healthy community, it should actually feel good to you. Not condemning, not negative. Yeah. It should actually feel good. The second one is your circle. And your circle are the 10 to 12 people you spend the most time with. You've heard the saying, you're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. Literally, you're watching this podcast today. Who are the five people you're spending time with? Who are the five people that you are investing in? And then look at where their life is. Where's the trajectory of their life? And if they're not going in the direction that you want to go in, you probably need to withdraw some of your time from those relationships and invest it. And it is an investment into some other relationships that are going to help you move and get where you want to go. So you've got your community, large group. You've got your circle, the 10 to 12 people you spend the most time with, who you hang out with on the weekends, who you're calling on your phone. And then you've got your corner. And your corner are the 1 to 2 people that my mentor and pastor says have that 10,000 foot view of your life. They see what's coming down the road for you. They understand. They're the ones that when you have something going on, you go, hey, can we have a conversation? And you say, or you run by, hey, I've got this vision. Here's something I'm wanting to do in 2022. I called Brad Lee Saturday, Sunday, and said, hey, I've got this idea. I'm going to do a white paper. I'm going to share it with you. Let's talk about this business opportunity that we have together. You tell me what your thoughts are. And then so what I do the white paper. Then we connect back and have a conversation. He gives me feedback on what he sees going on. So community, circle, and corner. And when you get those three spheres of relationships in your life at the level they need to be, dude, it's a game changer for you. It is an absolute game changer.
And I think everybody has those, but I think there comes a point where you've got to design your community, right? It's something what that adage of like you be the sum of the 5 people you hang around, it makes you have a look at like who it is you're hanging around. But it's
that's exactly right.
Where I find it difficult to do the parallels because I just want to add so much value to people's lives. It's difficult for me to be to those people who have added value in my life at some point, but they let's say they're stuck or for whatever reason, it's like, do I choose to, because this is what leadership is, to bring them with me. But sometimes, like I always say to people, it's much easier to bring somebody off a chair on a higher pedestal than for you to try to pick them up, right? Like it's, right. So how do we combat that? Because there is sometimes this disconnect and something that I've seen, I'm like, well, I really need to focus in on the community that I have and some of the people that I was hanging around with no longer serve me. And it's, how do we go about the heart of a leader or somebody who has a heart for people really, and just be like, mm-hmm. Well, I still want them to be there, but how do we choose?
Yeah, I think number one is it starts with your goals. I showed you earlier, I write my goals down twice a day, both businesses and personal goals. And then today, before I go to bed, I'll write them down a second time. So number one, you have to know where you're going. Like, where am I going? What am I going after? And then when I talk about community, you're going to want to have relationships that are in alignment. I've got 4 affirmations. My first affirmation that I say every day in a mirror, on my phone, in my rearview mirror, in my car on the way to the gym, I will live a life where my heart, my head, and my relationships are in alignment. My heart's where I dream. It's where I paint the picture. It's where I see where I'm going in the future. My head, unfortunately, is where my belief system is located. My belief system dictates what I speak. What I speak dictates what I do. Yeah. What I do then is going to tell whether or not the dreams, the vision I have in my heart are ever going to come to fruition. So if I can get my mindset right and I can get rid of limiting beliefs like fear, insecurity, scarcity, comparison, any of the ones that we teach on inside of GSD, when I can get those things, those limited beliefs, identify, remove, and replace those limiting beliefs, when I get my heart and my head in alignment, what happens is I start seeing some of the things in my heart come to pass. When that happens, what I've noticed is then you'll see the relationship component. It's almost like a gear. You'll see the relationship component come in and sync, and you will begin to see relationships in your life that you didn't have before that help you achieve all those goals you're writing down twice a day. Yeah. So how do I know if a relationship needs to be there? I'm looking, going, and it's not just because we do live in a world of, are they serving me? Are they serving me? Mm-hmm. Are they helping me get to where it's, and that's a natural yes. And there's a component of that in the equation. But I think the biggest thing is are they moving in the same direction that I am? Is it a Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpening iron? Am I helping them get better? Are they helping me get better? And there's also seasons in there where I have to help them more. Like with my friend whose dad just passed away, I'm going to have to probably reach out to her several times over the next 2 to 3 weeks and probably in 4 to 5 weeks. I haven't talked to her in a couple months, but I'll probably reach out to her in 5 to 6 weeks. I'll set a reminder on my phone because now funeral's done. Everybody's went home and it's like, hey, how are you doing? I'm praying for you today. So I think that how do you know when the time is? I think you've just got to use a lot of discernment and wisdom. And are we traveling in the same direction? Is our DNA the same? Or do we have the same desires and goals and dreams? And if you don't, that's okay. You're just naturally going to take and invest some of the time you had invested in that relationship. You're going to invest in a relationship with somebody who's moving in the same direction and is aligned with where you want to go in life.
Yeah. I think there where the distinction is also that I'm hearing is that you don't necessarily forget about them. It's not like you push them aside and that's it. You know, they were a part of your life. Right. You can still check in with them and you still reach out to them. So it's not a point of where you've got to throw away your friendships. I don't think anybody's saying do that, but you need to.
No, not at all.
You've got to be discerning in who you share your path, your journey with. Because there's some people that will also be like, yeah, I'm in your corner, but actually they're secretly hoping for your demise for whatever reason. Right. People are weird and fickle, right? But the thing is, what you've got to do and what your responsibility is to just love them in that. And realize when they are just not really serving that point, just be like, I'm not going to push you aside, but I need the right people around me to get me to where I need to be and where I can help them get to. And there'll come a different point where that person may join back into your circle.
I'll tell you about something amazing today. Greg Reed, who's, you know, he's got a star on the Vegas Walk of Fame in Las Vegas. Yeah. Greg's, you know, done a lot of books with Sharon Lecter. Sharon's a co-author for Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I had a video of me and Brad Lee and Josh York and Gary Breck on stage. It's one of the ones my team just posted on Instagram. And Greg shot me a text message and he goes, hey, when you do, and when I saw the video, because I've lost 75 pounds, but when I saw the video, I'm like, dude, my belly looks a little big in that picture. Greg shot me a text message this morning. This is what he said. He goes, hey, champ, hey, just a teaching thing. When you're sitting in a Q&A in a chair like that, try to have one foot on the floor. It makes your torso look longer. Because basically what he was saying was, I saw the same thing you did. And here's how you can correct that.
Yeah.
And I shot him a text message back. I said, thanks. Thank you so much for the coaching.
Wow, man.
Thank you for giving me the feedback. Like, I appreciate that type of feedback because he saw it. And you know what? Greg cares enough about me to go, hey, let me coach you. Because he knows I'm teachable. That's one of my five core values, teachability. Let me help coach you through this situation. Huge, dude.
That's amazing. Yeah. So that's the kind of people that you want, right? Who can call you out on this stuff. And also, like you said, it's not condemning, it's actually encouraging. And that's fantastic. So I think drawing on that, right? Like in order to get clarity, in order to get confidence, you need the community. And I think that's why what you're teaching and what you're working on resonates so well with me is because it's something that I inherently knew. And I'm like, now I can point people to, hey, you want to hear this? Go listen to this podcast. There's so many nuggets of wisdom. Reach out to Ken for coaching if need be. Thank you for taking the time and joining me on the Much More podcast. Before we close off, right, let's let people know where they can reach you, where they can find you.
Yeah, simple. Instagram at Ken Jocelyn, KenJocelyn. At Ken Jocelyn, growstackdrive.com, GROW, stack, STACK, drive, DRIVE.com, growstackdrive.com/Atlanta. That's our event that we've got coming up at the end of January. It's going to be phenomenal. We're doing a live stream. So guys like you in South Africa or in Australia, we just got two orders from Germany, one from Belgium last week. So people that can't make the trip, obviously, to come in for financial reasons or you know, COVID restrictions, depending on where you live at, we're able to bring this to you. So it's $197 for the live stream, and you're going to get to hear some amazing leadership experts like John Maxwell, and you're going to get to hear from some phenomenal business owners and CEOs, and I mean, literally some of the top business minds in the world.
Thank you so much for your time, man. I really value it and I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining the Much More podcast and joining me.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.